No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome in to an emergency podcast, an emergency edition of the Rockies Insider with me, your insider, Patrick Lyons. Colorado Rockies, with less than a week before opening day, strike a rather notable trade. Guardians, a team that they are very well acquainted with in terms of making trades over the last couple of years. Exactly how familiar they are with the Guardians, I will discuss that during the course of this show. Who are the Rockies getting back? What are the dominoes that had to fall for us to get to this spot? What had to happen for Colorado to think that this was the necessary move? Who's coming back to the Rockies in exchange for Nolan Jones, going back to the place that drafted him in the second round out of high school back in 2016? And yet another notable transaction, a player getting sent down to minor league camp. What does that mean for him? It's Chase Dolander. We'll talk about all of that and a lot more. Your questions in the chat coming up. Jeff Terry, in response to the Nolan Jones to the Cleveland Guardians for Tyler Freeland and Freeman, an infielder, outfielder. Jeff saying in the chat, gotta be Veen time, right? Rodriguez, worst trade of the season. Well, it's also the best trade of the season so far, because Colorado had not made a trade this entire offseason. And I'm coloring this as an offseason trade. We know that the season is right around the corner. We are much closer to the start of the regular season than we are the winter meetings and the winter in general, right? But this is not an in-season move that you make ahead of a trade deadline. So it's almost right in between. But for me, I would still call this, if I had to, either a regular season deal or an off-season trade, this is an off-season move. The first trade that the Rockies have made this entire off-season. Also in the chat, I understand the trade. We have a stacked outfield system, and Nolan Jones has played rough the last season and in spring. We'll talk about that outfield depth that the Rockies are certainly trading from. Did they get back enough? Are they taking 50 cents on the dollar? That's part of our conversation. Rhino, thanks for joining today in the chat live over on YouTube. You can leave a comment if you're listening to this on the podcast side and you still want to get into this conversation, because I respond to all of the responses to the videos on YouTube. Rhino saying Veen has to start in left or right field and Beck in the other spot, right? Again, a lot of dominoes have fallen both the previous 2 days leading up to the trade on Saturday with the Cleveland Guardians and in the next few days, in less than a week, March 28th, the start of the regular season for the Colorado Rockies against the Tampa Bay Rays, who now have their opening day starter in question. Lux Ace saying, we kept Sam Hilliard over Nolan Jones. Maybe. Is Sam Hilliard going to be on this team come opening day? Will he lose out on a roster spot to make room for someone like a Nick Martini? Because Hilliard's, the thing that Hilliard brought to the table, his strength, was the ability to play all three outfield spots. And Beck can play center field, as can Tyler Freeman. Hopefully I don't do that a lot today. But Tyler Freeman, she started in center field last year for the Cleveland Guardians. So now you no longer need that outfield flexibility, if you will, out of your quote-unquote fourth outfielder. Nick Martini might be able to fill that role. Same thing with a Sean Bouchard. So not necessarily. We'll sort of wait and see what happens with that. I like Zach Veen a lot, but this hurts. I wanted our outfield to be Nolan Jones, Brenton Doyle, Zach Veen. That's part of this conversation right now, is that there are only three outfield spots. And although you can be excited about the three that are currently occupying those three spots and their future with the franchise, you still just gave away a 26-year-old outfielder who finished fourth in the National League Rookie of the Year Award voting less than 2 years ago. A player that was the first for an outfielder. Not a ton of guys have done this. In fact, Trevor Story didn't do this as a rookie. 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases. On top of that, 19 outfield assists. A better outfield arm than Brenton Doyle. In fact, we no longer have the Colorado Cannons. Hadn't thought about that until this exact moment. Again, thank you for your chats, because you're getting me thinking about things I hadn't considered yet in the past couple hours that this deal has gone down. Spent a lot of time texting with friends, insiders, people in other front offices, their thoughts on this Guardians-Rockies trade, Nolan Jones, outfielder, going back to Cleveland, the place where he was originally drafted in 2016, was traded from at the end of the 2022 season in November of 2022. And now, a little over 2 years later, he's going back to Cleveland in exchange for super utility man Tyler Freeman. Nick Berkland in the chat saying, this makes sense from the Veen perspective, right? Because if you're looking at it just for that, you did just create some room for another young outfielder. And if for some reason someone does happen to get hurt or just struggles, you still have that room for a Yankiel Fernandez, for a Sterling Thompson, for Benny Montgomery, maybe in the second half. So that is a positive. But do you like what the Rockies got in return? Do you like what they gave up? Nick continued by saying, if Veen is not going to be moved up, I'll be extremely surprised, concerned, as would I. This deal certainly can be criticized from a lot of different angles. But one of the positive things for Colorado right now, the perspective that is in their favor, or rather makes sense for them, is they just created room for the guy who just won the Abby Greer Award. That was given out on Friday. You can actually go over on the YouTube channel, the Rockies Insider YouTube channel, and watch that ceremony with Bud Black and Ron Gideon, the first base coach, outfield coach for the Rockies, giving that spring training MVP award to Zach Veen, an award that was won a couple years ago by Ezekiel Tovar, in 2019 by Ryan McMahon, Trevor Story, Troy Tulowitzki, Ryan Spielborgs. All of those players were considered the spring training MVP for the Colorado Rockies. And now you've got room for that guy, not just on the roster, because I had surmised somewhat that maybe Zach Veen could be this wild card off the bench, that you still got to start him at least 3-4 times a week, figure out a way around that. That means probably less at-bats for Chris Bryant at DH. But you find a spot for him to start 4 times a week. You can get him late into games, steal a base when you need one in a close contest, and still get that playing time off the bench, traditionally off the bench, if you have Jones in left, Doyle in center, and Beck in right. But now you don't have that situation at all. Now you have a clear path to playing time, regular playing time for Zach Veen. Lux saying, Jones can play all three outfield spots as well as third and first base. Center field, he's not as comfortable there. The third base glove, I don't think it's really in his bag anymore. First base, certainly in play. It'll be interesting to see where Cleveland can utilize him. A team that the last couple of years, they've kind of been dying for an outfielder with pop. Stephen Kwan doing it 3 consecutive years, winning the Gold Glove Award. But offensively, with that pop, they've really lacked that. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Guardians end up using Nolan Jones now that he's back. Grant in the chat, bummed, but also excited. Yes, again, there is now that room for Zach Veen, and really that room for Jordan Beck, because we were at a point here with less than a week to go where Zach Veen deserved a spot in the starting lineup on opening day more so than Jordan Beck. And so Jordan Beck was probably ticketed for Albuquerque. And now with this trade, you can have both Beck and Veen in the corners next to Brenton Doyle. And now Doyle, despite, you know, a handful of games last year with Beck at his side in the outfield, he's very quickly got to get familiar, and he needs to familiarize himself with both those young players next to him in the outfield. Shouldn't be a problem, shouldn't be an issue, but still, that is something that now you don't have the luxury to figure out in spring training. Now you've got two new guys you're not as familiar with. You don't have one of your best friends in Nolan Jones to your right side anymore. Now things are changing a little bit. Don't think it's going to be a major issue, but it's just one of those things important to note. Also in the chat, last roster spot goes to Hilliard or Martini. Absolutely. I think Martini might be that one. Man, also in the chat, man, we better not have Martini playing over Zach like we had Jake Cave. We know Nick Martini is probably Jake Cave 2.0. And again, no knock on Jake Cave, because he was the people's champ. He was the man of the people once that series against the Dodgers came in June. And that definitely changed a lot of things. But at the same time, Jake Cave is no longer here. And Zach Veen can be here in purple playing for the Rockies for the next 6+ seasons. He's under club control for that. You don't become a free agent until 6 years of service time. And Zach Veen right now is at 0 days of service time. So he is a part of your future. And Nick Martini at age 35 just is not. He just is not. Also in the chat, I agree, we have a lot of good outfielders, but we couldn't get a better name for Nolan. Also, I thought Sam Hilliard was going to end up in assignment. Yeah, again, we'll have to wait and see what happens with Sam Hilliard. He may end up coming off the 40-man roster. He doesn't have any options, so at least I don't think he does. Let me take that back. Yeah, no, he does not have any more options to go to the minors, so it's kind of all or nothing for him right now at this point. Also in the chat, I really can't believe they traded him, but with the outfield depth and Veen playing well, I see why they didn't necessarily need Jones. Can't believe they didn't get more in a trade, but I assume Freeman will hold down second base while Estrada is hurt, right? Great time to answer that question right now. I wish I could say your name here on the podcast here live. You'll have to go over on the YouTube side of things, if you're just listening to the podcast. I'm a great pronouncer of names of all ethnicities, of all cultures of the world. I can pronounce this one fine, but reading it and not getting flagged is a whole other thing. So here was the domino effect. Thursday night against the Rangers, Kumar Rocker came a little inside on Tyro Estrada, plunked him, broke Tyro Estrada's wrist. The man who got $4 million guaranteed, the Rockies' biggest offseason signing, is going to be out for the next 4 to 8 weeks. It's going to be more like 6 to 8 weeks. Might even be more than that. We'll have to wait and see. I think he's going to be in a cast for at least the next 4 weeks. So we could be looking at closer to 6 to 8. And even then, when he comes back, how much power is going to be there? He's not a big power hitter, but he's a guy that can go to the gaps. And it'll be interesting to see how that ends up impacting his 2025 season. So who is going to get a bulk of those starts at second base? When it went down Thursday night, the conversation on Friday, as well as today during the split squads, is that Kyle Farmer is going to be the starting second baseman on opening day. Does that mean he gets a bulk of the starts while Estrada is out? Not necessarily, but I think for right now, you could see a lot more Farmer than someone like a Tyler Freeman. Maybe they go somewhat of a platoon in a general sense of things. As Tyler Freeman, also a right-handed hitter, but I think he performs a little bit better than right-handed pitching versus left, so kind of reverse splits there. So maybe they end up splitting it. But for right now, while Tyler Freeman kind of gets himself settled just a little bit, it's going to be Kyle Farmer for a bulk of those starts. After that, we'll wait and see what happens. is Adiel Amador going to force the Rockies' hands very quickly and be that high contact guy that the Rockies feel that they're getting in Tyler Freeman? Maybe get a little bit more power out of Adiel Amador. He certainly has that kind of stocky size and presence, both speed but size simultaneously. So you're getting a Tyler Freeman that has a similar skill set to Adiel Amador offensively, maybe a little less pop, as 8 home runs is the most he's ever hit in a single season across multiple levels. He did that last year, hit 1 in AAA with the Columbus Clippers and had 7 with the Guardians. Really his first full season in the majors, was pretty much on the roster the entire season. I think he got optioned down late in September, so he wasn't a part of that postseason roster, or at least didn't get in on any of that action. So you could have Adiel Amador forcing that hand. Maybe even Orion Ritter comes up a little bit early. I don't think we'll see anything as extreme as Kyle Karros tearing the cover off the ball and immediately you're going to have him up on May 1st and Ryan McMahon's going to go over to second base. I think it ultimately comes down to Adiel Amador as that guy that forces the Rockies' hands. But Farmers becomes the everyday second baseman, which necessitated the Rockies acquiring a utility infielder. A super utility guy is great. If you can play the outfield, cool. But as we've been discussing, Rockies have plenty of outfielders to go around. They do need a utility infielder. Owen Miller is still one of the 35 players in big league camp. Not on the 40-man, but he's still a veteran presence that you could go with. Aaron Shunk, we got to see him a little bit last year. Certainly flashed some good leather and provided some offense from time to time. Got his feet wet, struggled at moments, but certainly ready for a second opportunity. They could have gone off the board and acquired someone like a Nicky Lopez, Garrett Hampson, who, look, every team that Garrett Hampson goes to now certainly becomes a contender. So, is he going to want to come back to Colorado? Not necessarily sure, but Garrett Hampson is a guy that you could get essentially for free. Instead, Rockies trade Nolan Jones and about 5 more years of team control for Tyler Freeman, a utility infielder, outfielder. Some information about Tyler Freeman, 25, hit .308 in 15 Cactus League games with the Guardians this spring. So he was playing really well for Cleveland in spring training, which was great. Played 5 different positions this spring, 5 in center, 4 at second, 3 games in right, 1 at third base, and shortstop. Last year, he was in 118 games. Slash line, probably not that impressive to a lot of folks. .209 batting average, .305 on base percentage, .321 slugging percentage. I think that's part of the problem that I think a lot of people have right now, is that you've got a player with numbers and maybe even potential of something you could get either for free or a player to be named later going forward from another team. If you sat back and were a little bit more patient, instead you're giving up a guy that less than 2 years ago finished 4th in the National League Rookie of the Year award, a guy whose slash line numbers, batting average, on base, and slugging were comparable to Corbin Carroll. Again, I also had the 19 outfield assists. He had some back issues. And so, yes, Nolan Jones certainly fell off last season in a big way. But how much of that had to do with injuries? He's only 26 years old. Yes, they're back injuries, so you're going to be a little bit concerned with that. But you still have tons of upside there with Nolan Jones, who now goes back to the Cleveland Guardians in this trade. Let's go back into the chat here. Steve Long in the chat over on YouTube. 100% Chris Bryant can be a roadblock. You see him in the box, it angers you, Steve. I see that. Let anybody else get the rep. Money is gone regardless. I mean, yeah, there's a sunk cost fallacy here, I think, a little bit too, right? So Chris Bryant's going to be on this roster. We've still yet to see him play back-to-back games in spring training. So the one bright side is, if you're going to keep him around as somewhat of a veteran presence, you're going to have to pay him either way, right? You might as well get something out of him, and I think you can. I think if you play it just right and his body can hold up a little bit, you still could get 20 homers, 70 RBI out of him. Now, that's not $27, $28 million worth, the 20 homers and the 70 RBI, but in the middle of that lineup, when he's healthy, to put some fear or at least give some consideration to the guys that are hitting ahead of him in the batting order, and receive some of that rub, that benefit of being with a former MVP. Again, we're close to a decade now from that MVP, but still you can get something from him, but you can also make sure that he's not a roadblock at times at DH. So if Brenton Doyle does need a day off his feet, you can keep him in the lineup and put Beck out there or Tyler Freeman and feel really, really solid overall with what's going on in the lineup in general. And then you got a bat off the bench if you need something, if you need a little punch late in a ball game. Brenton over on YouTube, what was the main point of getting rid of Jones? We discussed it earlier in the show that it feels like half of this trade was about creating room for both Zach Veen and Jordan Beck. One of them had a guaranteed spot. One of them was guaranteed to be starting on opening day in right field. The other one not, because Nolan Jones was going to be in left. So what you ended up doing was you created room for a guy you were excited about. Now, going into spring training, they were more excited about Jordan Beck than Zach Veen. Now, they probably feel a little bit more excited about Zach Veen than Jordan Beck. Well, guess what? Now, they can have both their guys in the corner outfield, and now they feel a little bit better that when someone does need to take a day off, they've got Tyler Freeman to help supplement the offense and supplement the team defensively. That was one of the biggest things that the Rockies had talked about at the start of spring training and a little bit during the offseason. Load management. This idea that if they can give some of their guys extra days off instead of playing them almost every day. I think Ezekiel Tovar has missed something like 5 games, I want to say, since he was called up at the end of 2022. And 3 of those was a series in Cincinnati for the birth of his first child. So he's been fine, but you know he's playing through some soreness. Give him a day or two and you're going to get that much more back. Give Ryan McMahon a day or two, as he's now on the wrong side of 30. And if you have better options coming off the bench, this is how they feel now. Keep in mind, this is what the Rockies are preaching. If you can have a less of a drop-off when Ryan McMahon needs a day, or if Michael Tolia needs a day, or if Ezekiel Tovar needs a day, or Brenton Doyle needs a day, the drop-off isn't going to be as bad, and you're going to win more ball games. Of course, one could argue that can be somewhat moot when you're not going to be a contender this year and you're hoping to just not lose 100 games. And maybe you can have a 10-win turnaround. I think the Rockies, at their peak, if everything goes well, and you could argue it's not going well right now, Jeff Criswell out with Tommy John surgery, Austin Gomber behind schedule just a little bit, doesn't mean that much just yet, and now Tyro Estrada gone for 6 to 8 weeks, one could argue, okay, that scenario of winning 71 games, 10-win turnaround, just might not happen. Thomas Lawrence in the chat, what is the upside to Freeman? I don't get the long-term picture with him when we have Amador in the wings. There might not be a major long-term future for Tyler Freeman with the organization, because you're right, there are those young guys. We are at a point for Colorado where there is a logjam just about everywhere. You want competition. You do want competition, but at the same time, you want players competing that have somewhat of a track record that you feel good about, that you're going to be able to make your 26-man roster that much better. But if you've got someone in the majors struggling for playing time or just struggling in their first taste of the majors and someone tearing it up down in AAA, you can flip-flop the two. But what happens if that guy coming up from AAA has those same struggles? Now you've got two guys you really don't know a lot about. So there's a logjam everywhere. Amador's at second base. Ryan Ritter, obviously, he's a shortstop. Great defender. I like his prospects. But Ezekiel Tovar is your shortstop. So he now becomes that utility guy going forward. You'll wait and see. So, you know, maybe the Rockies can get lightning in a bottle out of a Tyler Freeman. But they just felt that overall, the trade that you're making wasn't just Jones for Freeman. It was Jones for Freeman and a roster spot for either Zach Veen or Jordan Beck. Also in the chat, we've all been asking for them to let the boys play, so bring Amador too. He's certainly a guy that, again, could force the Rockies' hand and get a lot of playing time. Rhino, they had to acquire Freeman because Owen Miller and Aaron Shunk have had bad springs. Both of those guys would have been needed to have been added to the 40-man roster anyway, so you would have had to have shuffled somebody around. And yeah, ultimately, whether it's how well they're performing in spring or not, the Rockies just didn't feel comfortable with those two guys. Shunk really hadn't played shortstop before last year. Owen Miller has really played off of shortstop. So those guys don't really have that same range. Freeman, I think, is going to be a little bit better as the backup shortstop when you have those days where you want to get Ezekiel Tover off his feet, maybe keep him in the lineup as your DH, but he doesn't have to go out there and be your shortstop. Will, first time in the chat, there is zero world in which utility infielder is worth more to this team than a healthy Nolan Jones. Look, I think you are selling low on Nolan Jones here in this trade, and you might be buying a little bit high in Tyler Freeman, who was worth a little bit less than one win above replacement, according to Baseball Reference's version of WAR. So, somewhat of a luxury. That was something that I had talked about all offseason. Go back and listen to some of those podcasts, the Rockies Insider podcast, when the Rockies signed first Kyle Farmer, and then Tyro Estrada, and it became clear that Kyle Farmer was then going to be your super utility guy that you're going to pay $3.25 million to, when a lot of teams, including the Rockies in the past, have gone with a homegrown player that's making the league minimum, about $750,000, $775,000. So you're now paying a premium for a bench player. And again, part of that theory is you're going to get more out of your starters when you can rest them a little bit more effectively and feel confident that, hey, we're not going to put so-and-so in the starting lineup, but it's okay. We got a decent backup. And so it's going to pay off in the long run, at least in this season. And I think that's true. I think that is true that, you know, this deal could be better for the Rockies this season. But going forward, if you ask a lot of executives around Major League Baseball, I think a lot of them in a vacuum would prefer the next 5 years of Nolan Jones over Tyler Freeman. We'll wait and see what ends up happening with that. Who ends up being right? Matt says, I don't think you would get a good reliever for Nolan Jones right now. Might not. And the Rockies like their bullpen. So, you know, I can't be too hard on the Rockies in a way. And the Nolan with this trade from the perspective of not trading when the stock was high. Now, one could argue that after 2023, when he finished fourth in NL Rookie of the Year award voting, the Rockies could have looked and said, you know, Zach Veen's in AAA starting 2024, and Jordan Beck, I think, is going to start the year there as well, because I don't think he has anything to prove in AA. So both of those guys are going to be locks for our opening day roster in 2025 if they're healthy. So maybe we want to trade while the stock is high. And I think there were a lot of people after 2023 saying, you know, it might be a little bit creative. I know the folks over at Purple Row kind of hinted at that. Some of the folks over at Blake Street Banner also said, you know what, let's just kick the tires on this. What could a trade involving Nolan Jones going elsewhere, what could the Rockies acquire in a deal like that? And again, part of that has to do with the logjam you have in the outfield. And if you like all of your prospects and you want to trade all them, and hey, they're still just prospects, so to another team, they're not going to give you quite as much as a guy who's proven it at the major league level with 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases, and 19 outfield assists as a rookie. You hadn't seen that before. So maybe you could have traded Nolan Jones. Maybe you included Joe Rock in a trade during that offseason. Those two guys coupled together, you might have something. You might have brought back more than two super utility players in Greg Jones and Tyler Freeman. Coincidentally, Tyler Freeman is going to be wearing number two for the Rockies this season. He wore number two with Cleveland the last couple of years. Thought it was kind of strange because Greg Jones, who's still on the 40-man roster, debuted last year, got his first home run and pinch hit appearance, was the last guy to wear number two. So Greg Jones is saying, hey, I thought I was number two. Why did I lose my number? So Greg Jones is going to have another jersey. If you're a big Greg Jones fan, if you're down in Albuquerque, you got to know him a little bit, and you're a Greg Jones guy, stay a Greg Jones guy. We just don't know what number he's going to be when he comes back up to the Rockies at some point this year. Johan, first time in the chat. I'm a little confused about getting rid of Nolan. Why not just get rid of Hilliard when we can have a really good young core? You know, you could have kept Nolan Jones there's still room on the 26-man active roster for Nolan Jones and Veen and Beck, but there's not enough playing time for all of those guys. I think there was a creative way where you could have gotten that done, and it really would have been a lot less of Chris Bryant at DH, which I know a lot of people would have been okay with, but you're clogging up a roster spot there, and you need to have a bench that's better than just a DH that's on it in a Chris Bryant. So I think that would have hamstrung you maybe a little bit, but you know what? Honestly, Johan, I was in favor of a creative way that you could have had Jones, Beck, and Veen rotating through the starting lineup and at DH, and just not giving a ton of playing time to Chris Bryant. It still remains to be seen if Chris Bryant will be able to play consecutive games. So the Chris Bryant situation, you know, continues to be, I don't think it's much of a problem financially. I know the Rockies wanted to cut payroll, and they did that a little bit. And certainly if you didn't have $27, $28 million to give to Chris Bryant, you'd have a lot more flexibility. But on the roster, I didn't necessarily think going into this year that his presence was going to be that much of a factor. But if he can only DH and he's only going to be playing every other day, and you've got so many young players that you need to get at bats to, you are essentially operating with just a two-player bench. Three, if you include the catcher, but you can't. He's got to be your catcher. So you've got two players on your bench. We'll see what happens going forward. Donnie, also first time in the chat, agreed there is zero future in this trade. I struggle to understand how trading a potential cornerstone of the outfield for a guy that may struggle in the next couple of years. Again, the upside of Nolan Jones is really high. It's really, really high. And he's had some back issues still during the offseason, beginning of spring training. So there could be something that the Rockies are aware of. Maybe the Guardians are willing to take that risk with his back. Maybe they have a little bit more of that outfield flexibility because they don't have a ton of prospects in the same capacity that the Rockies do. So again, the Rockies' losses is certainly the Guardians' gain in that way, because they've got a little bit more of that flexibility. That's where a trade like this maybe would have made more sense in the offseason, when you had more teams involved in the conversation and you weren't just taking what you could get. Because I really think the conversation between the Guardians and the Rockies was prompted by the Tyro Estrada injury, Kyle Farmer coming off your bench in your super utility role. Now he's just your second baseman. We need a new utility guy. We're going to have to overpay if we need to this season. And it does look like that very much could be the case right now. The outfield for the Guardians, you're going to have Stephen Kwan in left field, no doubt there. Lane Thomas, a great defender. They just picked him up at last year's trade deadline. He's in center. And in right field, you got left-handed hitting Will Brennan. And you can kind of see where Nolan Jones could fit in there as another left-handed outfield bat. Yonkenzie Noel, a.k.a. Big Christmas, hits from the right side, plays a little first base, a little bit of outfield. So I think Jones is going to be fine fitting back in there with his old club. What else do we got in the chat here? Tovar, people excited about that. Rodriguez, what you said, this trade was necessary and good for Veen and Beck right now, but it can also be an opportunity for Yankiel Fernandez. Also true. So this deal is not, I don't want to say it's not out of the blue, because I think it is out of the blue. I do. But there's a lot that does make sense, because you are creating that corner outfield opening for Beck and Veen, right? One of those guys was not going to make the cut. Now they both can make the cut. And if that doesn't happen, I think Rockies fans are going to be even more upset than they currently are right now after the loss of Nojo. But it does make sense from that perspective, that one of the biggest things about this season was going to be let the kids play. And yeah, they're letting the kids play by freeing up a spot in the corner outfield and left field. But Nolan Jones was kind of one of those kids still, only 26 years old, right? He didn't totally know what he was going to bring to the table as far as a finished product is concerned. So Steve saying still tons of optimism. Again, they've got some quality young players there that does allow them a little bit more playing time. And I think this certainly does mean Zach Veen is going to start in one of the corners now on opening day next Friday, but it might not be against Shane McClanahan of the Tampa Bay Rays. Not sure if you saw, he left the game on Saturday, tricep injury. Look, he was holding his elbow, and of course you had to think the worst that, you know, it's his UCL injury. He's going to need Tommy John surgery again. Right now it just says it's a triceps injury. That's still not great, but odds are that he's probably going to be out for opening day on Friday. Now, a little bit on the trade history for the Rockies, because I think there's a lot of folks, man, the comments are pretty wild over on social media. And not wild in the sense of people saying crazy things, people making a lot of crazy sense. I'll just say that. So a lot of folks with a lot of comments. You could leave any of those comments if you'd like on my social medias at Patrick D. Lyons. But to this point, as I said earlier on the show, the Rockies had made zero trades this offseason. And again, we've yet to start the MLB season for all 30 teams. So you still have to call this an offseason transaction. Not in the most traditional sense, but it's more offseason than in season. Since the start of the 2022-2023 season, keep in mind, this came off the heels of a 2022 trade deadline when the Colorado Rockies were the only team in Major League Baseball to not make a trade in a season in which they were very clearly out of contention. So that offseason, you saw GM Bill Schmidt make a lot more moves. So since then, since the winter of 2022 and the early spring of 2023, Colorado had made 14 trades where players were changed hands on both sides. I'm not going to include trades where money was exchanged or a player's contract was sold to another team. Players for players, a baseball trade. 14 trades since the 2022-2023 offseason. So a little over 2 years. 7 of those 14 trades came during the offseason, including this one, and 7 were ahead of the trade deadline. More than 50% of those trades came from just 3 teams. 3 deals with the Cleveland Guardians, 3 with Atlanta, and 2 with the Los Angeles Angels. And it also should be noted that before GM Bill Schmidt started working in the scouting department for the Colorado Rockies, he did work with Cleveland for 4 seasons as a national cross-checker from 1995 to 1999. So the Rockies can do this from time to time, but we've definitely seen this a lot more under Bill Schmidt's regime that, you know, there's a tendency to go back to the well with certain teams. And, you know, hey, let's pick up on that conversation, you know, that we had a couple months ago. I know you really like this guy. I kind of like that guy. Let's see what we can figure out and work out a deal. And so Cleveland has definitely been a go-to for the Rockies, both in the original trade involving Nolan Jones that ended up coming on November 15th, 2022, where the Rockies traded a low-A player in Juan Brito. In fact, I think he was still in the Arizona Complex League at that time. He is now playing second base, a little first base. I've even seen him on some lists, probably a down-ballot guy, but I've seen him on a couple lists as potential American League Rookie of the Year Award candidate. So that original Nolan Jones trade may come back to haunt them as well as this one. You also had last offseason, November 17, 2023, catcher Cody Huff, Rockies dealing from their catching depth, went to the Guardians for Cal Quantrill. The in-season moves have actually been really good, I would say. The in-season trades for the Rockies over the last two trade deadlines have been really good. And I think a lot of that has to do with the simple fact that in all of these deals, the other team was approaching Colorado, right? The other team wanted something, needed something. Colorado had the leverage in these conversations. And so you go back and look, part of it is the fact that a lot of these guys were on expiring contracts and were going to be free agents in a couple months. So you got something for what was very quickly going to be nothing. Got to make those kind of trades. So the Rockies had that advantage. And I think, you know, on the other, we're talking, you know, some quality veteran guys. So I think that really helped get those deals done. And you look at this trade and you know, it feels like it could be a panic. You look at the trade around this time last year, it's actually March 21st, 2024, when it seemed as if they weren't going to get the right mix of guys on that opening day roster. And the Rockies acquired Greg Jones, who could play both middle infield and outfield. And it seemed like he was destined to make that opening day roster to create a spot for, I think it was at that time, Sean Bouchard and Hunter Goodman to be on that opening day roster. And actually, I think it was Hunter Goodman and Michael Tolia to be on that opening day roster and give you a little flexibility because you had a middle infielder you felt good about, but could also play center field up the middle, which they didn't really have at that time. Now, the Rockies did have to give up a lanky left-hander with a lot of upside in Joe Rock. Joe Rock had a really good season in AAA last year for the Tampa Bay Rays, an organization that if you're gonna trade anybody a pitcher, the Rays are the last team you want to trade them to because they might be able to turn him into a beast. He's yet to make his debut, so we'll wait and see what happens. But in both of those trades, it felt more like the Rockies panicked and that they needed something more than they wanted to work out a good deal that was good for their franchise and organization. And again, you could still argue that, you know, the Rockies needed Greg Jones more than they needed Joe Rock in 2024. And you could also argue that the Rockies need Tyler Freeman more in 2025 than they do Nolan Jones in 2025. Conversation, of course, changes when you start to look at the future and you say, well, what about 2026? What about the next 2, 3, 4 years? What could be, what could possibly be a return for a player when they're not at their lowest value after an injured and banged up season in general? Jason, welcome to the chat. Got Peralta from Pittsburgh for Jalen Beeks, who struggled to find a home this offseason. That was a steal. That was a steal. Not a day goes by that I don't have a Pirates fan in my DM saying, can we do that one back again? Really, we would love to. And they, you know, they try to rub Justin Lawrence in the face of a lot of Rockies fans, say, okay, well, we're gonna get one here. Now that you got Luis Peralta from us and stole him from out underneath our nose. Yeah, that was a really, really solid trade by GM Bill Schmidt. Thomas pointing out Victor Vodnik came over from Atlanta. That was another one of those two trades that came during the 2023 trade deadline. That was great for the Rockies. Brad Hand was the second one, but the first one where Pierce Johnson went over Atlanta, it allowed Colorado to get both Tanner Gordon and Victor Vodnik in that trade. So again, you can take advantage of a team's weakness. You can take advantage of a team that is needy, and you do that at the trade deadline. You absolutely do that. So also in the chat, starting outfield, Veen, Doyle, Beck, bench of Bouchard, Freeman, Martini, and then whoever your backup catcher is, which is going to be Hunter Goodman. So yeah, that's essentially becomes your bench. Sam Hilliard then has to get designated for assignment there. So you look at that and again, the bench is more veteran than maybe you would have liked. But again, with these young players, you can't just put them on the bench. You have to give them regular starts. And that's the advantage to playing every day in AAA. They got to debut at some point. They got to get their feet wet. There's only so many spots. That is part of, you know, an underlying issue that the Rockies have right now. They wanted to create competition. They've got competition, but they also don't have enough spots and have enough at-bats to go around for all of these young players who are all on the doorstep. They're all on the precipice of making their debut and making an impact. There has to be a balance to that. And today's trade of Nolan Jones to the Cleveland Guardians for super utility man Tyler Freeman is about maintaining some of that balance. You might not like it, but overall, I think it does create a better scenario for the team this season. They might end up losing the trade. Nolan Jones might really make them regret this deal. That I don't doubt that one bit. But for what the Rockies need right now, and they need some more playing time for their young guys, and careful what you wish for, because now Zach Veen seems like a lock to be your starting left fielder. Maybe he'll be back in left, being in right. But now very much should be a lock to make that starting rotation. I like Zach better too. We're seeing here in the chat. The other move too that did go down on Saturday were three transactions, three guys going down to minor league camp. Zach Agnos and Jaden Hill taking off the major league camp roster. 35 guys remain in big league camp, including six non-roster invites. The third guy to go down to minor league camp, righty Chase Dolander. He is set to make his final Cactus League start on, I believe that's going to be on Sunday. So a lot of you are going to be listening to this on Sunday as a podcast. So Dolander is indeed going to be on Sunday in Maryvale, pitching against Milwaukee on the road against Elvin Rodriguez. Diego Castillo, Jaden Hill, and Zach Agnos, despite just getting optioned down to the minor league side, expected to pitch in those games. So, look, Dolander did everything he needed to do to prove that he deserves a spot in the rotation. But again, some of his reassignment to minor league camp is a logistical thing. It's just a logistical thing. And, you know, I did talk about this my last live show, recorded on Thursday. You might have listened to it on the podcast side on Friday, that the decision to not roster Chase Dolander on the opening day roster could have implications going forward, because since he is a top 100 prospect, putting him on the opening day roster does give you an opportunity to get a compensation pick after the first round. If Chase Dolander goes on to win the Rookie of the Year award in the National League, one of two things can happen. One, he's going to earn your team a first round pick, probably pick number 31, and the $3 million that comes with that. That's one of the new rules in the CBA. Okay. The other is not as good. That world is a bad world in which the Rockies decide they want him to get some experience in AAA. And you certainly understand that. He hasn't pitched at altitude yet, but he gets some experience down in AAA with the Albuquerque Isotopes. They call him up at the end of April, maybe at the beginning of May. And that allows them to have him for another year of club control through, I believe that would be the 2031 season. Well, if he wins the Rookie of the Year award in that scenario, the one where he gets called up late, like Paul Skeens did last year, him winning the Rookie of the Year award not only means that the Rockies will not get that compensation pick after the first round, but it means that he will get a full year of service time and the Rockies will not get an extra year of club control. So he will be a Rocky for only 6 years, not that seventh that they would be hoping for. Now, the third scenario, of course, is he comes up at some point, is great, doesn't win the Rookie of the Year award, no harm, no foul either way. That's probably the more likely scenario, right? Is it's hard to know who's going to be the Rookie of the Year award winner. There's every year there's favorites, there's lockdown, it's definitely going to be this guy. How many of you said it was definitely going to be Jackson Holliday last year? And it wasn't. A lot of you could have even said, I think Jackson Churio. I think Jackson Merrill. And it wasn't. It was Paul Skeens. So it's a crapshoot when it comes to the Rookie of the Year award. I think I'm a little bit confused because Colorado is going to need a fifth starter very early on in the season at some point between April 2nd and April 6th. And if it's Dolander, I've gone back to my previous pronunciation, Lil Doe, that's his handle on social media. If it's going to be Dolander, anywhere between April 2nd through April 6th, five consecutive days in a row, then why not start him on that opening day roster? I understand the Rockies would like an extra reliever in that bullpen, but you are really threading the needle there. You are cutting it close. Again, he wins that Rookie of the Year award. You're not going to feel good about those 5 days you had one extra reliever when you could have had Dolander on that roster a little bit sooner and maybe have him. That would then force him to have his debut in Philadelphia versus in Colorado. But again, you know, what's the goal here going forward? If you're trying to win create a contender, play guys when they're ready, wherever they're ready, and let them start their careers, right? If it's not Dolander from April 2nd to 6th, maybe it's a spot start for a Tanner Gordon, or Anthony Molina, who are the only other two starting pitchers that are going to be down in Albuquerque that can start. I'm not saying Bradley Blaylock because he's already on this roster, but he's their long reliever. If Bradley Blaylock is your long reliever, then you're still going to need Gordon or Molina to come up and be your long reliever. While at the same time, you don't know if Bradley Blaylock's going to be able to go as your number five starter. What if you need him the day before? If you need him to be your long reliever, he now can't start tomorrow. So you're in a bit of a pickle. So I don't think it's going to go down that way. If everything goes great and they don't need to use Bradley Blaylock, then yeah, sure. Then maybe he will make that fifth start. You'll still need a long reliever. You'll still have to make some kind of transaction, but you might be able to get away with that. In terms of Austin Gomber, though, he's going to start the season on the 15-day IL. He did pitch on Saturday, 3 2/3 innings pitched, threw 54 pitches, and he's going to start the season on the IL. Now, opening day is March 27th, even though the Rockies aren't playing on opening day. That's the start of the regular season. And players can go on the IL retroactively 3 days before the start of the season. So you'll see Austin Gomber, IL, March 24th. The 15th day on the IL would be April 7th. So he can come off the IL on April 8th, which means it's outside of that April 2nd through 6th window. So Gomber might make his start as soon as he can, coming off the IL. That's fine, but you're still going to need somebody else. And it remains to be seen what the plan is. Might not be that vital. It's not that critical. We're talking one of the first games in the first 2 weeks of the season. But what is critical is the fact that there is an opportunity where your top pitching prospect can make an immediate impact from go. And you can benefit from that greatly. You can get a compensation pick if from jump he is able to go out, deliver, and be one of the best young pitchers this team has ever produced. There is that potential. In the chat, I would rather have him win a Cy Young Award. Sure, he might be able to win both. Although Paul Skenes, look, as great as Paul Skenes was last year, he wasn't able to get that Rookie of the Year and Cy Young Award done in the same year. That's going to be really hard to do. Thomas, hopefully I answered your question about Blaylock. Like, yes, in the general sense, we know the Rockies have five starters. Gomber's off the board to start the year because he's on the 15-day IL. In theory, the first guy up is Bradley Blaylock, but Blaylock simply hasn't been used as a starting pitcher through these final weeks of spring training because the team knows he's going to be the long reliever, which means there's really somebody else that's ahead of Blaylock on the depth chart. And you got to believe that that's Chase Dolander. And again, if they are, they're just playing footsie with this idea of having him debut, but maybe later on in April so that they can keep his service time under 172 days in order to retain an extra year of club control. Teams are allowed to do that. Again, maybe they feel like he does need to make three or four starts in Albuquerque first before he comes up. Maybe. But from everything that I saw in spring training and everything that they said that they saw, it sounds like Chase Dolander is ready. Now, he could go out there and have a 4.5 ERA if he goes wire to wire this season and makes about 30 starts. 4.50 ERA for a rookie, it's kind of a rarity. That also means that in the middle of some of those rough outings, that's going to happen when you've got a 4.50 ERA, it does mean there are going to be glimpses of brilliance. You saw that brilliance for John Gray in that 16 strikeout performance against the Padres. And he was, in his career with Colorado, about a 4.50 ERA guy. And you would still say he's one of the best starting pitchers in franchise history. Give Dolander that opportunity. I think he's deserved it. Also in the chat, Patrick, do you think the Rockies believe Jones got a bit exposed last season? We're worried about his strikeout rate. I don't think they were worried about his strikeout rate because they don't seem to be that worried about anyone's strikeout rate. They do say it, but again, it's about what you do, not what you say, right? Talk the talk, walk the walk. So sure, that is a concern, but not a concern where, man, this guy's killing us. I think everyone that's striking out a lot is hurting the team. And that's something that they've been trying to work on. They have worked on it, but but it just hasn't been effective. Again, I think a lot of this just comes down to worried that he wasn't going to be able to post this season and play 140 plus games. You know, some concern for the fact that there was just not enough playing time to go around for everybody, and that, hey, this is kind of a good situation. We had one of our young guys, that's one of our guys, Nolan Jones, not necessarily one of their guys, didn't debut for Colorado. He debuted for Cleveland, drafted and developed by Cleveland. So now one of your guys is going to take that spot, and you're going to get back something else on top of it, a utility infielder that you do need. You feel you do need for this season. I think that's some of the logic there that goes into that. Thomas in the chat, has Sean Sullivan thrown it all in minor league camp this spring? He's starting in double A again this year? ? I think that's probably where he's going to be ticketed to start the season. He did have somewhat of a delay to his spring. I don't think we saw him in any of the big league games this spring in the Cactus League. Had that hip surgery, so look, they still thought enough of him to invite him to big league camp to get that experience, to be around some of the guys, get familiar, get acclimated with a big league clubhouse, because he's going to be a part of this team going forward, maybe even as soon as the second half. Again, a lot needs to happen for the kids to play, but one of the things that needs to happen is you've got to turn the keys over to these young starting pitchers, because in a very short amount of time, In 18 months, Kyle Freeland might be the only starting pitcher on this roster. Of your five guys that you have right now, excuse me, not Kyle Freeland. Of the five guys right now in the rotation, Kyle Freeland, Herman Marquez, Antonio Senzatella, Austin Gomber, and Ryan Feltner. Of those five guys, Ryan Feltner is the only one guaranteed to be locked up past 2026. Marquez is a free agent after this year. Austin Gomber is a free agent after this year. Antonio Senzatella has a club option for 2027. So that's really just about if he's able to produce in 2026, but he's not guaranteed. He's not guaranteed a single dollar in 2027. And then Kyle Freeland has a vesting option that, again, a lot of it's going to be performance-based. So he is not guaranteed. Ryan Feltner is the only guy that you can say, in 18 months, when the season ends, the 2026 campaign is over, you're going to say, well, Ryan Feltner is a part of this rotation. One guy. You've got to turn the keys over to these young starting pitchers. And so Sean Sullivan is one of those young guys that's going to get some of those opportunities. In the chat, I trust in Feltner. I like him. I think he's going to pick up where he left off last season and be really solid and be one of those guys that Colorado says, hey, this is someone we want to keep around for a while. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He does the right things. He's producing. Boom. You do that. And yeah, Thomas, maybe I didn't finish my point, but you read between the lines. You've got to turn the keys over to the young guys. So that means, yes, at the trade deadline, if you've got some starters that are healthy, you make that deal, and then you start August 1st. Okay, we got 2 months of a couple more young starters. So Thomas saying Marquez trade at the deadline, Sullivan, Palmquist get that spot. There you go. That's how you start to do those things. That's how you start to give those opportunities to those young players and create playing time. You have to be able to create that playing time for your future, because your future is always two or more years away. I think for almost any team. And I think the Rockies can be too concerned about this year and then next year. It's always about that. You're always thinking 12 months down the line rather than 24 or more months down the line. And when you're a team that is out of contention perennially at this point, it's fair to say they are perennially out of contention every year. They are not close to the postseason. You have to look at yourself in the mirror and go, we need some more wholesale changes. We need to be thinking further down the line and not worrying about who's going to play where next week or who's going to play where this season. Unless you're worried about which young guys you're going to select, not which veteran is going to play and take that spot from a young player, because that veteran's not going to be around. And there hasn't been a ton of, let's sign this veteran and then let's trade this veteran at the deadline so we can have our cake and eat it too. We can protect some of our young guys for the first half of the season, turn the keys over to them in the second half, and bolster our depth in the minor leagues. They just haven't been doing that quite enough. We've seen a change over the last 2 years, and 2023 was outstanding with all of the deals that they made. Last year, you got two. That's good. You've got to be doing that a lot more. They didn't do any in 2022, and they did one, a reliever, in 2021. They've got to do a lot more of that for the future. You guys are maniacs, and I love that about you. Thank you for joining me here in this emergency pod, just under an hour, maybe by the time I wrap up or another question pops into the chat. This is going to go over an hour. Mikey, sorry I didn't see you. Let the kids play. Hashtag let the kids play. I think that's what a lot of people want to see. And I think it's a shame that Nolan Jones was kind of part of those young guys that you wanted to see play. And when he did play, and when he was healthy, he was a cornerstone guy that you could imagine being a part of the Rockies for a while. And I think, rightfully so, there's a lot of fans that are a little sad, a little disappointed in that. So I do hear you out there. Grant, thank you for joining. Cassidy, thank you for joining as well. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. If you're enjoying these emergency pods or you want some more post-game pods, let me know over on social media at Rockies_insider. Leave a comment in one of the chats on the videos on the YouTube side of things. Sign up for the Rockies Insider newsletter. That's another great way to have some back and forth with me. What do you want to know more about? When do you want to know it, right? Do you want those post-game pods immediately once the game's over? I want to provide that to you and be a source. If I'm the Rockies Insider, I'm getting in there so I can come outside and say, here's what's going on. Here's what I've seen. Here's what I think is going down. So I appreciate you doing your part and joining me and giving me this kind of momentum. But as I like to say, that momentum, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.